Hello, everyone. Welcome back to St. U. It is Ryan Helbling, and I'm here in our virtual studio with my great friend, Sammy Van Nordstrand. Sammy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Ryan? It's good to be back in the virtual Zoom studio.
I'm doing well. Also here in our studio, we have a guest, our director of campus ministry from my time at UP and Sammy's current time at UP. Father Jim Gallagher is with us. Father Jim, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing just fine. It's missing having the students here live on campus, but it's making room for all these wonderful opportunities like this.
Awesome. Well, Father Jim, we are very excited to have you here with us. For those of you who are just now learning of this Father Jim is an incredible priest from South Bend, Indiana, home of the great University of Notre Dame. He, I believe, is a Notre Dame grad. Is that right, Father? Just like Notre Dame is run by the Holy Cross Order, he decided to join up with them and has been a priest with them for now how long?
14 years.
14 years. Congratulations, Father. So we are really blessed to have him. For those of you who don't know, Holy Cross is an order that is filled with men who call themselves men of hope. And for those of you who've just seen our episode title, we're talking about hope today. And we thought, who better to bring into this conversation than somebody like a man from Holy Cross. And today we're very blessed to have Father Jim with us. So Sam, you want to talk a little bit about today's topic and why we're thinking about that?
I would love to. So hope is our topic. We thought that it was a really good time to talk about hope in today's episode because we're living in a really stressful time right now. There's a lot of places in our lives to feel very hopeless, whether it's in the political climate that we're in, the environment that we're living in, the natural disasters. I know that me and Ryan have been experiencing, and Father Jim as well, the aftermaths of the fires in Oregon and just along the West Coast. So there's a lot to unpack with that. And yes, there's just so many challenges that I think a lot of us are feeling right now. And we just thought it would be a good time to just kind of decompress and just talk about really what brings us hope and how to be hopeful in a world that seems very hopeless.
Right. I'm vibing with that, Sammy. I know it's right now, it's been really hard to find that hope. And I know for me, especially being at home, I'm living just with my family, but being away from friends and from all sorts of people, it's really tough right now sometimes to see the bright side, to see God, to see, you know, the love that's expressed to your friends when we have to spend all these times through Zoom calls. I know we touched a little bit about building those communities in our last episode, but really now it's like after we start to build those communities, I'm still learning, you know, how to find hope in all of this. I don't know about how some of that makes you feel.
Yeah, it's a learning curve for sure. I think a lot of the times when I felt hopeless over this past year have been very desolate times that, yeah, like you said, like really contribute to just the types of community that we're having in our world right now where we can't necessarily see our loved ones and we can't see we can't have that kind of human connection like we used to. So it's a very desolate feeling. I don't know. Do you feel the same way, Ryan? Can you call me on that?
I totally do. And I think that's why it's important that we're having this conversation and trying to figure out some different ways to learn about hope. So let's bring in Father Jim, and we'd love to ask you a couple questions about hope and about your experience as a man of hope in Holy Cross and really what hope means to you. So Father Jim, first, can you tell us a little bit about hope and its role in our lives as Christians? What is the importance of hope as Christians, as Catholics in the world?
Hope is an amazing thing. It's a time-bending thing because it's something that happens in the present, but it's future-oriented. So one of the things that I like to talk about with hope is something you hold on to right now that's a bit of an expectation that things will work out in the future. It's not necessarily the, how do I focus on what's okay now? It's a little bit of, how do I retain a positive outlook in the moment of difficulty with an expectation that it's going to be okay in the long run, which then that hope that points to it being okay in the long run then gives someone the wherewithal in the moment to keep on going, to keep on plugging along. Even if there is no light in the moment, the light is the hope of something yet to come.
My mind just exploded over here, Father Jim. That's incredible. I love what you said there, and it's really, really cool. I mean, I've tried to piece together what hope means to me a lot of times, and it never comes across that eloquently for sure. But what stood out to me is how you said just hope is something that we're holding on to now. And like, I think I get that, but I've always kind of affiliated hope with something as being part of the future. And I love that you just brought that. It's right here. Hope is what I've got, and that's what I'm going to have moving forward. So that's really, really incredible.
Mm-hmm. So that's one of the neat things. So you asked about, like, in the Christian context, sometimes the hope in the Christian context is even a longer term sort of thing, in that part of the Christian faith is that there's something beyond even death. So we might be able to find okay things in the moment, but that's, I don't mean to darken it up too much right now, but like, death looms for us all. It stands out there for all of us, whether it be 50, 60, 70, 80 years down the road, it stands there. But then the Christian hope is that there's even something beyond that, something beyond that's even better than what we've got right now, even the best, better than the best of now. And so it's something that points to something beyond. And so the interesting thing is, once we are beyond, once we're in heaven, we will not have hope, but not as a dark thing. There is no more need for hope. Hope is something, again, that kind of points to something yet to come. When we end up there in the fullness of heaven, we no longer need anything yet to come. It is in its fullness. And so that's kind of the neat thing with hope, too, is that in one day, in good terms, hope will disappear, because we'll enter into the fullness that we long for, the brightness beyond any dark day. And so that's kind of the neat thing, too, is that we hold on to it now because we aren't at the end of our journey. But the neat thing is that sooner or later, some ways there won't be any more future, because it will be eternal present.
I feel like that's a beautiful segue for me to ask you the next question of sure. how do you find hope, and what does hope mean to you as a Holy Cross priest? Because if hope is rooted in that Christian idea of we won't need hope once we're in heaven because mm-hmm. we have reached that hope, can you tell us a little bit more about the specifics with the Holy Cross? And
yeah, so I'm going to start with me first, and I'm going to go into Holy Cross. So there's a little right. bit of, all right, so I have this time bending reality of hope that is something oriented to what is yet to come, but we hold on to it in the moment. There's aspects of the past that nourishes and feeds that hope. So realities that I've been through, difficult situations. Now, I won't say I've ever been through a pandemic or years of climate change, but like, I've been through difficult moments. I've been through a loss. I've been through personal health issues, and I've come through it. And so there's a certain aspect of hope today is built on some of that, those smaller building blocks of I've been through a lot before. And then I guess, like, in humanity in general, we've got the deeper history to pull upon. And so sometimes people are wondering, in the midst of the pandemic, will we ever go back to normal, whatever normal has been in the past? And there's part of me that says, yes, I don't know. It's a yes and no sort of thing. Like, we're never going to go back to what was, but there's kind of a sense of normal that is probably coming. Because if you look at what the world's been through before, we've been through pandemics, we've been through world wars, we've been through kind of cities utterly demolished and reduced to ruins that have come back over time, and given enough energy and effort, like, humanity tends towards creating these systems that we had been in and will do. So sometimes our hope is just kind of looking backwards and seeing that humanity has been through even worse than what we're currently living through here in the U.S. or the Northwest. So there's a little bit of just kind of like, humanity's hope tends to look back to know that we've got the wherewithal to keep on moving forward. With the Congregational Holy Cross, one of the things that we hold up as a source of hope is the cross. So the Congregational Holy Cross, our founder, Blessed Basil Moreau, gave us the motto, Ave Crux Stas Unica, Hail the Cross, the Only Hope. I'm going to try not to ramble on too much, but there's so much here packed into this
one. Ramble on, Father.
And in my mind, too, when I see the cross, I see the Catholics, we tend to put the corpus onto the body of Christ on there. So we, the crucifix, a cross with a body hanging on it. And in that, then we have actually a terrible image of an ancient form of torture and killing someone and reducing them to nothing. But in that, we see several layers as Christians. We see that God entered into human life. God came to be with us. God entered not just into human life, but entered into some of the most desolate and painful situations in human life. Rejection, torture, being killed. There's these many layers that God has entered into. And he did so out of love for us. And so when we look at the crucifix, we see a brilliant image of God's love, how far God will go out of love for us. But then in those difficult moments, we can have these thoughts that, well, God has forgotten me. God has left me alone. God has kind of withdrawn God's grace from me. But then we can look at a crucifix and see that, no, God has entered into this and God knows this. And God doesn't run away from those situations. And so when I'm in those dark and hard places, I know that God is and has and will enter those spaces with us. And so then one more part is that we know the end of the story. We look at the cross and we know what happens. Yes, Jesus dies, but he also rises again. He moves through death. Death doesn't have a final say over him, doesn't have that final power over him. And so Christ moves through that. And then we realize we have that capacity as well.
You've got a really unique role as a priest, in your role as you act as oftentimes as a spiritual director. You often act as a confessor. You act as someone who gets to preach to people. And those are really awesome things. And in a position like that, I know there are people who come to you with all sorts of different things going on in their life. People who have hit rock bottom and they're aching, they're searching for something to hope for, something to hope in. And so my question for you then is, how do you encourage people to find hope? How do you take someone who is at that rock bottom moment, or someone who's maybe not even there, but someone who is struggling to notice what it is that they're called to in Christ, and how do you help them to recognize that, and how do you encourage them to go and to look for it?
So I think sometimes I do what I've talked about already. I tell them to kind of look back in difficult moments in the past, what has helped them to move through, but also to help them realize in those moments, maybe they felt like there was no way through, and yet they found a way through, or there was a dawn after the night. So sometimes it's helping them to look back. Sometimes it's, again, pointing out the cross and walking them through just that reflection on the crucifix and that God is with them. So I think part of it is just that sense that God is with them. One of the other things you mentioned, kind of these moments of being in these spiritual conversations, confessions. One of the things that came to my mind as you were mentioning that is one of the great sources of my hope that I strive to offer to others is the intensity of God's love for us. And I say that with you bringing that up because some of the most intense experiences of God's love I have had in the confessional. And not when I'm the recipient of the sacrament of reconciliation, when I am the presider, the priest, the minister of God's grace in that sacrament, because I've had people pour out terrible burdens that they carry, things that they deeply regret, things that they are holding on to that are weighing them down and they don't think they can be forgiven of. And some of these things are really, really hard things that they've done. In those moments, I've felt an intensity of God's love for them. God's desire to set them free, God's desire to remove those burdens from them, God's desire for them to know that they are God's beloved child. And so in those moments of seeing somebody in some of their most vulnerable and beaten down, and in that, not to feel anger or chastisement or anything like that, but just to feel God's love for them and God's desire to set them free, and to realize that that's there. And that's there, and it's revealed to us in Scripture. It's revealed to us in the other sacraments. It's revealed to us in the ways that our families love us as an image of God's love for us. But it's that knowledge of the intensity of God's love that's one of those things that gives me hope. But then also that is that hope that I try to offer to others, that to realize that, to give them, again, that realization that God is with them, that God desires to set them free. And again, if you look at Jesus's ministry, he did some wonderful things of healing people and teaching, but all of that, it wasn't just that he was about healing, and because there was more to it. He didn't just kind of set up a shop healing people and then like, well, this is what I'm doing. If you look at it, the forgiveness of sins, the welcoming people who have been ostracized or sent out to the margins, all of this is removing barriers between us and God's love. What is sin but a barrier between us and God's love? What is death but a barrier between us and God's love? So if you look at Jesus's ministry, you see again and again the work of removing barriers between us and God's love. And that's then the work that I get to be about too. But all of that is focused on that reality of God's love, that then is one of those great anchors to our hope as well. Not that Jesus just won a victory over sin and death, but also that all comes because of God's great love for us.
Wow. So kind of just commenting off of that, it's mirrored then. So then when we look up at the cross, it's a reminder of that belovedness, of that inherent love and beauty that God gives us just as what he's created us to be. Mm-hmm. So it's like our suffering, like the veil has been torn. Not even our suffering can take away the joy and the love that God gives us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's the tough thing, is like sometimes, again, we're in these moments where things aren't working out our way. It's not happening the way we want it to. And we can get down on ourselves, and we can get depressed about it, and we can get upset and frustrated with it. And there's reality behind that when we're not able to spend time with our friends that we want to, or our family when we want to, or even when worse things happen that injure our wellness or the wellness of the ones that we love. But a lot of that is an anger and a frustration that things aren't working out the way that we want them to. And so it's in those moments to try to let go a little bit of what I want, and then be present to God who's in the midst of that as well. And to recognize that it's not all about getting what I want. It's about living this journey with the people, experiencing God's love and being a witness of that love for them. And so sometimes too, when everything's not working out and we're bound at home, you do what you're doing. You start a podcast to share God's love with each other and with the world. And so we are very kind of bright and ingenuitive people that can do these things. And so it's letting go sometimes of what we want that's not working out, and then shifting to, well, but how do we live in the reality that we do have and continue to live in the midst of God's love, in the midst of that.
I have one question.
Sure.
To follow up with that. Father Jim, what do you say to someone who can't necessarily get past, you know, their own suffering and their own, you know, like how what do you say to someone who has been through something, you know, very difficult, and is being exposed to a lot of the things that we're exposed to right now are very difficult. How do you tell someone to just not necessarily just get over it, but also to sit with that in a hopeful way?
I think one of the ways that I would do, and the ways that I would recommend with somebody, is like if you have somebody who you're close to that feels like they're really struggling, they may feel like they're sinking in the midst of all that's going on. Just sit with them, be with them. Again, we can't sometimes sit right next to somebody on the couch, but you gotta get up on a Zoom call and don't try to make it better. Just try to be with them. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing sometimes when we encounter somebody that's having a hard time, or again, something even particularly tragic has happened to them. Sometimes our temptation is to try to, how do I make it better? How do I make them feel better? How do I get them out of this dark spot? Sometimes dealing with something tragic, processing something tragic, is being in that dark spot for a bit. They've been wounded, and allow them to be in that woundedness. But the difficulty sometimes is that when somebody's hurting and in that wounded spot, it's uncomfortable for them and for anybody else that's around them. And a lot of people then are either trying to make it better or avoiding, which can be a very isolating thing. So one of the greatest gifts that we can give to somebody that's really struggling is just to sit with them in their struggle. Maybe ask them to talk about it, to share about it, just to listen and to sit with them in that and not necessarily try to make it better, but just to be with them in that. And then by being that, you give them that idea, that awareness that they're not alone in it. You give them the awareness that they're not unapproachable in it. And you just give them some of that space to heal, but then also maybe you start to provide some of that light just by your being there. Now, if somebody, every time you talk to them, seem to be stuck in that and it's never getting out, there are such things as depression but also two really difficult spots. And so if you find yourself floundering of the, like, I've tried to sit with them and sit with them and sit with them and it's just not getting any better, it can be kind of maybe saying, like, is there somebody else to talk to, or is there a professional to bring in to bear on this? But I think sometimes it is that moment of just being with them. But at the same time too, like if somebody's just a little down and not like something big and traumatic, it can be having them share about their day and then point out, help them notice the good things that were there. I got to go for a walk. You got to go for a walk. This is one of these amazing things. Right now we in Oregon, after having lived through a couple of weeks of just smoke, going for a walk outside is a realized pleasure that we were taken for granted before that. So sometimes it's in the midst of that, kind of pointing out what are some of the blessings that are present even in the midst of some of the difficulties.
I think you pointed something out, to, at least not explicitly, but it helped point something out to me, is that like in those times when we're able to just sit with what we're struggling with, I think in some senses, it as hopeless as those times may seem, it's almost easiest to find hope in those spaces as well, because sometimes when we're constantly trying to brush past it, or we're trying to, you know, just find that next experience that makes things so positive and so great, we forget to hope. We're so focused on the present and making sure that one moment is great. But like you said, hope is taking that moment in the present and realizing what's to come in the future. And I think that's kind of a really, really cool part about just being there and sitting there with someone. I think I didn't think about that until now, and I really appreciate that you brought that to light, because it made me think of that.
Yeah, it's hard and it's difficult, and don't rush to make it better. Sometimes it's okay just to sit and say, like, this is hard, this is difficult. You're right. Like, hope isn't the thing that makes it better now. Hope is the thing that gives me the strength to persevere with the trust that it will get better one day. And so that's the thing, is sometimes it's then letting go of the pressure to feel better now. That sometimes that pressure of, I should feel better, why am I not feeling better, why am I not okay, why isn't everything okay, can give you the permission just to say that this stinks, I don't like it. And yeah, it does. And it is. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
That is awesome.
This is a very hopeful conversation.
Spoken from a true man of hope.
Yeah. Well, I thank you so much, Father Jim. That is some incredible insight. I've been in enlightened in a new way and just feeling very hopeful in the essence of this podcast. So our next kind of thing that Ryan and I wanted to touch on is just the kinds of things that we all as human beings find hope in. So Ryan and Father Jim, what are kinds of things that you find hope in?
Right. For me, one thing I really find hope in is just getting to engage with people. For those of you who have been following our podcast, you may have known that Sammy and I had done our first two podcast episodes from Oregon and Colorado in different time zones, in different places. It's been a long time since we've seen each other. Actually, this episode, we're still filming over Zoom, and I'm back home 100 miles away from where Sammy is. But this past weekend, I actually got the chance to meet up with Sammy. And just having those in-person interactions, those give me a lot of hope. And honestly, my Zoom conversations do too. Just the other day, we had some really, really important conversations, things about how our faith life was, things about how our regular day-to-day was. And we touched on topics that are things that in this conversation we've talked about that are reasons that we feel like we need hope. And but frankly, just having the time to be with someone and to get to share our experience, that gives me a lot of hope, because it shows me that I'm not alone in this. And I know that's hard to find in this time of the pandemic, but it's just having those connections with people, regardless of whether that's face-to-face, socially distanced, Zoom distanced, whatever it is, that really adds so much. And it gives me so much joy and so much hope to know that I'm in this with other people.
Mm-hmm. Not trying to flatter you, but you guys give me hope. So one of an insight, a window into the life and thoughts of a campus minister is that there are days where you wonder, like, does all this matter? Does all this kind of energy and effort and email and planning and retreats and things like that, do it actually make a dent? Do young people care about any of this anymore? And it's kind of seeing the two of you, not just participating in things when you were here at UP or with some of what we're doing, but it's that you've taken this and that you've taken it seriously and that you're finding ways of sharing this out and helping others then to know that integrating one's faith, not just into something I do in the evenings when I pray or on Sunday, but this is part of my life. This is part of how I see the world. This is the air I breathe. This is how I interact with everything that's around me, to see you doing that, and then to see other graduates and students doing that. That's the stuff that kind of keeps powering me. It gives me the hope that what we're doing in the right now is bearing fruit down the road.
Well, Jim, you are far too kind to us here. we're very thankful to have you. You've given me a lot of hope. Yeah. I hope that all of you get to meet a Father Jim caliber priest in your lifetime, because he is one heck of a guy. Mm-hmm. Sammy, how about you? Where are some of the places that you're finding hope these days?
I mean, definitely would echo a lot of what you've said, just connecting with people, but kind of relating back to what Father Jim said, I think it's helped. Finding hope has been really important when I live in the present. And for me, when I just step out of my, you know, worries about the future, worries about the past, and I really just take the moment and just like focus on my breath, even just the smallest thing of just breathing in the moment, like noticing that God exists in that presence and hope exists in that presence. And there's nothing that can take that moment away from feeling that peace. And that peace really reassures me that if I can take a moment or two to just breathe and be in the present and not worry about the things ahead or the things behind, I can get through the next moment, whatever that moment is. So that's just something that I like to do. It's like a little mindfulness thing, and it's really like effective for me.
And I love it.
So, I mean, it's kind of a new thing that I'm starting. Actually,
I think it's so great for like in this time of pandemic too. Like, you know, I think that's something that you've just taken that moment and owned it. And that's so mm-hmm. cool. And you've made it something that's fruitful and hopeful. So that's awesome. So we're running a little short on time, but we just want to wrap up with one last thing before we close in prayer like normal. And that's just, we want to challenge you this week, today, after you finish listening to this podcast, whatever time you've got, just to take a minute to stop and to think about some of those things that give you hope in your life. They give you hope in times when we've got chaos surrounding us because we have a pandemic. We have a country where things can feel uneasy sometimes and lots of people are struggling with that. Or we have natural disasters. Whatever the things that weigh you down, what's continuing to give you hope in those moments? And think about that. Reflect on that. That's something I'm definitely going to try to implement into more for myself this week. I think it can be a really powerful thing for us.
Absolutely. Anything to add, Father Jim?
I think you nailed it there. Cool. Just inviting people to recognize what is it in the moment that gives them the hope of something good to come that can help them persevere in the here and now.
Wonderful. Well, I think we are going to close out with prayers, always.
Let's wrap it up.
All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the hope that is you. We thank you for the hope that is your love. We thank you for the hope of this day and the gift that you've given us of our lives. We're so thankful to have had Father Jim on this call with us to guide us, very young, naive college students, well, one in college grad, in a way towards your beauty and towards your light. We thank you for his wisdom. We thank you for his ministry. And we pray for his journey as a campus minister and a Holy Cross priest. Please continue to reinstate the hope in our lives and always remind us of your love, even in the ways that we can't necessarily see him.
God, our life is filled with challenges. We've got political ones. We have natural disasters. We have pandemics. But God, we just pray that in the midst of all this, that you continue just to help us find ways to hope in you. Thank you for your gift of the cross, for giving us that eternal sign of hope. God, help us to see you in that, and help us to stand with you in our pain and our suffering, and to take your example as a means for us to soldier on and to keep on with our lives.
Lord Jesus, you came to be with us. You entered into our life, into our world, to let us know of your deep love for us, to let us know that you are with us always. In these moments when people are struggling, people are having a hard time seeing the light in the darkness, help them to recognize the ways that you are present to them. Help them to find those ways of being present to you. Help us to find those ways of recognizing your love and then being a witness of that love to others. Maybe particularly help us to notice those who are most in need of a ray of light in their day. Help us to be that ray of light. Give us what it is that we need in these moments to recognize again that you are with us, and that you will see us through, and that none of the suffering or struggling or hardship is to be our end. You will see us through it to something more, to something greater. Bless all of your people, again, especially those most in need this day. Pour out your blessing upon all those listening to this podcast. Bless them, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father Jim.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you for having me.
We are so happy to have you. Hey, everybody who is listening to this, we thank you all so much for being with us for our episode of St. You. We will be back very soon with another episode. Not going to put a date on it because it took us longer in this last two than we expected. But yeah. We are so happy to have you on with us. So on behalf of Father Jim, Sammy, and myself, have a great day for God. And we cannot wait to see you next time on St. You.
See ya.
Amen.
We did a podcast.